An evening of lively, smart conversation and jazz. Join me, John Williams, for a live taping of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Robert's Pizza, and Jazz, Wednesday, June 12th, 6 to 8 at Winter's Jazz Club in Streeterville. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/rascals.
Don Jackson Blattner is the author and registered dietitian and nutritionist who joins us most Thursdays at this time. And what do you know? It's most Thursdays at this time. You can find her at DonJacksonBlattner.com and at DJ Blattner on Instagram. By the way, little truth to that, though, Don doesn't want you to buy processed meats. Don't lose your mind if somebody gives you a ham sandwich, but she said better that you buy the meat fresh, cook it, and cut it yourself. The chicken, a roast beef would work that way, right, Don?
Yes, you can take a piece of beef and roast it yourself, and then it's not cured. The whole big thing is with these processed meats, it's the curing and salting process of them. So the how it is prepared is the trouble. And so if you're making it yourself and you're just using an oven and you're not curing it and salting it yourself with all sorts of other compounds and chemicals, yeah, that's great for you. And so, yeah, cook your own meat, end of the day.
And I had another little mini sirloin steak for dinner last night with my salad, mind you. But I thought there's no harm in having a little piece of steak. Don?
Absolutely. You are so right. I got to say, that's, you know, so many people are always so worried about red meat. I never eat red meat. If you have it in your routine and you have, you know, 7 days a week you're making yourself dinner and you think about the protein mix of your dinners. That is like a big theme that I work with a lot of clients on. What is your protein mix? Do you have fish a couple of times? Do you have chicken a couple of times? And then you have some days left where it's like, okay, maybe one or two of those can be plant-based. So it's like a tofu, a tempeh, a bean, and there's still room for a steak night or a burger night. So it's like, if you are looking at the big picture, I think this is what people screw up with nutrition, is they get so caught up in the details, they forget to take a step back and look at the big picture. It is not diets that have red meat are so horrible. It is like tends to be people who eat a lot of red meat also do not eat fruits and vegetables, do not eat whole grains, do not drink water, do not exercise, don't have enough, you know, of all the good things in their day. So I love it. I support your steak and salad tremendously. And really, you know, think about your protein mix each week and how you're doing with that.
So this is hard-boiled week in America, hard-boiled egg. There's no preferred way, or is there, Dawn, to eat an egg? Scrambled, poached, fried, hard-boiled, it's an egg. You know, a little butter or grease notwithstanding. Is there any consequence of having it one way versus another?
No, they're all equally, you're getting the nutrition of an egg. But I will say, to your point, the biggest thing is when you are frying in something like butter, you're getting, you know, a lot more saturated fat than if you were to do olive oil, for example, instead. So if I'm going to have somebody doing it over easy, over medium, over hard fried egg, I do encourage olive oil. And if somebody's like, oh, you know, I've grown up like this for 70 years, I haven't this way. Think about half and half. A lot of times it doesn't have to be a full swap to give you health benefits. You can do half the butter that you usually do and put some olive oil in the mix.
Does that flavor the egg? I don't know if I like that. An olive oil egg.
Ooh, does this sound like an experiment for you the next time you make eggs to do olive oil? I feel like this would be an experiment. You usually go, we talk, you're like, I'm not sure. And you go do it in your own house and you're like, hey, you know what? I think I'm a believer.
It worked for the brownies.
This is your next, it's your next experiment. It's olive oil eggs.
Okay, so what about good ways to serve those eggs? You got any tips for us?
Okay, well, so yes, you say it's hard-boiled egg season, but even more importantly, it's deviled egg season. And I've had a few now of your wonderful listeners email me and say, what can I do to healthify my deviled eggs? Because traditionally, a deviled egg is where you take the yolk, you mix it with mayonnaise, you put other things in there, like maybe a little vinegar or Tabasco or lemon juice, maybe it's, you know, some salt and pepper, a little bit of mustard. But I think people are always like, how do you get rid of the mayonnaise, right? So this is like the big talk. First off, I think mayo gets a bad rap. This is all I'm going to say. You know what mayonnaise is? Nobody, I don't feel like, knows what mayonnaise is. It's just eggs, vinegar, and oil. That's all mayonnaise is. And so the biggest thing is does your mayonnaise that you're going to use in a deviled egg have a good-for-you oil? So that's what I love, olive oil, mayonnaise, or I like avocado oil mayonnaise, because it's all the same. It's all going to be mustard, and it's going to be vinegar, or not mustard, but eggs. And so I would say, okay, you know what, pick a good oil. So I like olive oil, mayonnaise makes a great deviled egg. If you really want to go healthify, there are three amazing, I can't believe how good these are. I was, hey, listen, you know how sometimes you're like, I don't know about that. That's how I felt about, don't screw around with my original deviled eggs. But you know what? Listen to this. Greek yogurt is so good. I cannot believe it. I was like, I don't want it to taste like yogurt. But an egg yolk is so like rich and creamy that when you use Greek yogurt instead of mayonnaise or the 50-50 mix, you use some mayonnaise and some Greek yogurt, you cannot taste that yogurt. And then you have like mustard in there and, you know, Tabasco, a little salt and pepper. Oh my God, it's so delicious with Greek yogurt. Listen to this one. Hummus. Are you kidding me? You can make a deviled egg with hummus. So you take your, you know, same egg yolk, same mustard, blah, blah, blah. Put your hummus in there. I got to tell you, I was not sure about that at all. Delicious, because hummus itself has such a good flavor. It makes a great deviled egg. And this one is I can't even believe this one. I did not think I was going to like it. Avocado, that you can swap your mayonnaise out, put avocado mashed up along with your egg yolk and all those other seasoning, and make an awesome deviled egg. So you're getting the nutrition of avocado, or you're getting the nutrition of hummus, or you're getting the nutrition of Greek yogurt, all in your little deviled egg. So I got to tell you, try them all. They're so great.
And as a reminder, you said last week that an egg a day isn't bad for you, and in fact, go ahead and enjoy the yolk.
Oh, please. Yeah, that is probably the one myth that I would love the most to bust, is that, you know, you always have to throw out that egg yolk. That yellow yolk is where so much of the nutrition is. So much of the choline for our brain and fat-soluble vitamins are in there. So absolutely, please eat the yolk. And if you want to eat multiple eggs and you're like, all right, you know what, I'll do some egg whites, but at least keep one of those yolks in. It's so good for you.
We had questions from last week that I wanted to catch up on, and then we'll go to questions from this week. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can call in or text in. Don Jackson Blattner is the author, the registered dietitian, nutritionist. The reason the Cubs won the World Series in 2016 was she was the gal in the clubhouse making sure the guys ate right. Her website is donjacksonblattner.com. And on Instagram, she's at DJ Blattner. Last week, we were talking about washing fruits and vegetables. This listener said, hey, what about washing them in apple cider vinegar? Is that a good idea?
Okay, there's lots of people who have different ways to wash the fruits and vegetables. There's compounds like apple cider vinegar. There's, things you can buy in the grocery store that are considered vegetable washes. And you really do not need to do that. The real most important, I got to say, this is the key thing, is you have to agitate it under running water. So even if you think, oh, I'm soaking in all this stuff and whatever, no, you really need, it needs manual sort of, you know, vibrations to get off that surface layer of gunk. So whatever your fruits and vegetables are, running water and really manipulate it with your hands to get it off.
Well, what about those bags of lettuce? That's all that stuff's already cleaned, right? Anything in those bags, prepackaged bags at the grocery store, you don't mind us buying those and we don't need to wash that stuff, right?
I love those bags of produce. It makes everybody eat more because it's already cleaned, to your point. Now, once in a while, there is a brand here and there that I'll see that will say, you know, wash this before you eat. So, you know, still look at it and just double check it doesn't have that label. Like there is one greens that I get that says, you know, you've got to wash this before you eat it. But by and large, the most bagged lettuce is already cleaned, triple cleaned in some situations. And what's so important about that is there's actually research that if you end up trying to clean that lettuce that's already been cleaned, you're probably going to contaminate it more on your own.
Your kitchen is dirtier than theirs. I believe that.
Yes. Yes. So that is the big problem. Do not wash something if it already says it's washed or triple washed. Don't go washing it again.
You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm just John Williams, but Don Jackson Blattner is the registered nutritionist and dietitian who joins us on Thursdays. She makes recommendations drops recipes on her website and shares them with us. And every now and then you take her up on it and feed back to us how it went. 219 Dawn says, tell Dawn those bean brownies are amazing. And they are. She's got a recipe for making brownies out of black beans and rolled oats and cocoa powder. And I know you don't want to try it, but when you do, first of all, I could sneak them on you and you wouldn't even know. They're really good. And how about this one, Dawn? Olive oil fried eggs are awesome. So there's there's two nods for you. Here's a question from a listener. What's the deal with honey wheat bread? Honey wheat bread, is that good or bad?
Oh my gosh. This is it. It's usually not good. It's usually not a whole grain. And I think the confusing word in here is the word wheat. Is that a lot of times when people see it, they're like, oh, well, that's wheat bread. That must be good.
Yeah.
No, all bread, like white bread is wheat bread. The word wheat is not what we're looking for. We're looking for the word whole wheat. So don't be duped. Like when you're at a restaurant and they say, oh, you know, the bread choices today are, you know, sourdough, white, wheat, rye. And you think, oh, you know, wheat is so healthy for me. No, it does not mean whole wheat.
But it's brown. But Donna,
kind of wheat.
But some of those honey wheat breads are brown and they might even have.
And have flecks on them.
Yeah.
Flecks of seeds. Yeah,
no.
I know. If only you could look and judge a bread by its, you know, coloring and the flecks of little seeds on there. But no, really, the only way to know if you're eating something that is whole wheat or whole grain is to look at the ingredient list, and it will tell you if it's made with just wheat, which is considered refined white flour, wheat, or whole wheat, which is what we're looking for.
Tell me about this spring salad.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to my family's house this Sunday, and my job is always to bring a salad. And I feel like, you know what, salads can be very boring, but here's the deal. What I have decided to do is to truly lean into spring, because I was like, you know what? All the time when you eat with the seasons, things tend to go together. And so I've made this salad once before, and it was requested again. So here's what it is. It's a spring salad that starts with spring mix, obviously. I mean, you can't have a salad that's a spring salad without spring mix as a base. But here are the five things to put in your spring salad that actually are in season and all go together. Asparagus, radish, carrots, peas, and mint. If you have never had mint in a salad, you are sleeping on one of the best salad ingredients that exist.
Okay, do those five ingredients. Do those ingredients again.
Oh, so good. With your spring mix, you put asparagus, radish, carrots, peas, and mint. The mint is the highlight. I'm just going to punch it up for the mint. I love that. Peas, I just use frozen peas that I defrost. Carrots, you have to, because that's what bunnies eat anyway, and that's like the spring, you know, big thing. You got to put that in. Radishes, if you don't think you like radishes, you do. I swear you do. I love radishes. And the asparagus, you know what I do is a lot of people forget that you can use the microwave in a very important way with vegetables. Research shows that one of the quickest ways to cook a vegetable is one of the healthiest ways to cook a vegetable, because it means there's less heat leaching out nutrition when you cook it in a quick way. And a microwave is actually a very quick way in 1 minute that you could actually quickly steam your asparagus so that it's not limp for your salad, but it has a little bit of the edge taken off. You can eat asparagus raw, but I like it with just that little 1 minute of steaming in my microwave, so that I cut it up in my salad. I gotta tell you, it's delicious. The dressing, I just use lemon, olive oil, and Parmesan cheese. I don't know if people know about this, but you can make a great dressing if you put that grated Parmesan cheese along with your olive oil and lemon, and it makes sort of like this creamy, delicious dressing, and it is so easy, so like au naturel.
This salad you're describing sounds beautiful, too. The colors and the shapes.
Yeah, you know what? That's very, very good. It is one of the prettiest things you will eat. And what I love about this is even if you're not going, you know, to my family and bringing a salad, it's an awesome salad to make anytime you're looking for something, like you said at the top, with a piece of steak, with a piece of salmon, with a piece of chicken, with a piece of tofu. Just add a protein to this, and it really is a very pretty spring meal.
Okay, so you take the spring green mix from the grocery store, and then you add radishes, carrots, asparagus, peas, and mint.
Please, mint. If you don't skip it, some people are like, well, I don't know. I don't know about the mint. If you skip it, I'll cry. You have to have the mint in there.
Hey, let's not make Don Jackson Blattner cry. Let's talk to Sharon. You're on WGN. Sharon, how can we help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hi, Don. Thanks for helping us so much. I wonder what you think about basil. I like the taste of it and the scent, and I eat it sometimes by itself because I really like it. What nutritional value, I wonder, does it have?
Oh, basil. Here's the thing that's so interesting about food. If something has a bright color or a very vivacious taste, that is always a sort of indicator that it has massive amounts of phytonutrients or antioxidants that are helpful for us. So you look right at basil and you say, whoa, it's green. So first of all, I know that. And wow, does it taste, has a big, you know, aroma, has a big taste. Those are all signs that this is a high antioxidant food and is quite good for you. And antioxidants, what do? They protect blood vessels. They protect your heart. They protect every cell of your body, in fact. So I got to say, I'm all thumbs up for basil. And you know how people do like pesto all the time? Think about how much basil you eat if you're eating pesto. And you can make pesto with not just pine nuts. You can make them with walnuts. You can make it with pistachios. You can make it with almonds. And so I love a pesto because it's not only basil, which is so good for you, but also all of those nuts for fiber and plant protein and good fats.
Good question. Thanks for the call. Olives in the cans, Dawn, are they okay?
Yes, olives in the can, great. They're great for you. Rinse them and you will get even more of the sodium out. So you can see on a label, we've talked about this before, but it's the 5 and 20 rule is how you know if something is actually high salt. So if you look on the can of olives, probably they're in the ballpark of like maybe 9% sodium. So if 5% is low and 20% is high, 9% probably is in the ballpark of closer to the low end, right? So they tend not to be as high in sodium as you would think, except for if you eat thousands of them at a time. If you eat very high, you know, lots and lots and lots of them, your sodium will rack up. But probably in the tune of about 30% of the sodium would wash away if you rinse them a bit to get out that briny solution.
Lots of good advice today from Don Jackson Blattner, author, registered dietitian, nutritionist. Hire her for your group or company. DonJacksonBlattner.com on Insta, DJ Blattner. Don, can you join us next week?
I would love to. I love this time with you. Thanks for having me.
Happy Easter. That's America's Blattner.